Right, so Sabrina George for New Comedy Radio. Still. At the Shetland Island Festival. I should actually explain that there's a party being assembled around us, which is the final party for the Shetland Festival. So we'll just punt on until, because as the noise will probably progress, as people are bringing in plates of food and drink and whatever, and instruments will start to arrive. So... So when you, because this is always fascinates me,
yes,
about when someone has lived in a very isolated situation like you are in Russia, yes, what happened when you arrived in Britain for the first time? What were your first impressions that made you go, that's different from what I expected, or that really falls into the stereotype?
So my first impressions are, I am on the moon.
Really?
Yes. My first impressions... I was drunk.
Because you went from what, Russia to Gloucester?
I came to London.
Yeah.
And I was flying from Moscow, because all the planes that time was from Moscow. Now you could fly from any points of Russia to Britain. It's getting better.
Normal, yeah.
Better and better, like normal everywhere else. And I was drunk on the plane because alcohol was available. And so it is for me. So, we celebrated, all of us. I was part of delegation visit just Rio of the mayor of that town, and I was like a cultural program with that trio. We went to so we and I fell asleep for those 2 hours. I was sleeping in the plane. Then I was waking up by my friends and said, Serge, we are approaching London. So I put my nose into the window, and I noticed what? I noticed double lights, which was going up and down, I mean, to my right and left, north and south, from north to south, from west to east, you know, lights, which was like a traced for me that I could see. It's obviously was roads. With lights
on both sides.
Both sides, and double lights all the time. And my first and the biggest impression, all bulbs was working. That's believe me, that's the impression. After darkness and the lack of bulbs on Soviet roads, when it's sometimes no bulb for miles, you know, or definitely not regular,
yeah.
One working, the 10 still not, you know, waiting for the care to take. This is my biggest impression, and I realize I am a different world. This is my biggest impression. I don't know, some people would wait for shops, whatever. This is the biggest one. I walk and I realize everything, so I am somewhere in the moon. You know, what's going on? That's what, and I still remember it, 1993, and this is it. And then shops, not very much. I heard already from comedians, by the way, about shops. This is the most famous joke about this in Russia. It is when someone came to grocery shop and asked for what time you receiving your strawberries? At 5 a.m. It is the biggest joke for Russian people. Why? Because in Russia, strawberries, in June for 2 weeks, the only, the answer in the England is at 5 a.m. in the morning. So it's not about season. It's about daily experience. And when you say this joke, that time in Russia, everyone just, so this is it true? So this is what it's all about. This is what just I'm not about, you know, the shopping communism or capitalism, but at least, you know, this is the details making the picture.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And it's the availability of just smaller
things.
Because I worked with this fantastic Russian director, Genevieve Tarianovskaya, who ended up by working in Moscow, and she'd been sent to Siberia perestroika. She was a Jewish lady, mm-hmm. and then they'd folded the theatre down on her because they found her too politically controversial. And
what's her surname?
Jenovskaya. Genrietta Yanovskaya, sorry.
Yanovskaya.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And she was one of the first appointments Gorbachev made in Moscow, made her in charge of one of the public theatres there. And I've always wanted to go to Moscow and find out, because I thought she was a fantastic lady. But she came over and did a workshop with us and on Chekhov. And one day she came in and she said, could she have the morning off to go around the shopping centre? And we were just like, well, all right then, you know, it's no big deal. And she went round the room, which was just a horrible little one in Nottingham or something. It wasn't even a very nice one. And she just came up with her eyes were like she'd seen diamonds. And actually what she was buying was baby clothes and baby food, because it was absolutely for her grandson. She couldn't get it. It was just those little, as you say, it's those little details. You're just like, wow, we take this for granted to such an extent. But to her, she had a massive suitcase of baby clothes, nappies, baby food, and I think some a few toys. And he was only a baby. But that was her thing, was to see that.
And that's a good one. And as well, what my impression, next one, already about people. When I went for some schools to visit, as well as a part of that program from our region, as I said, we were doing concerts, some just to show off us, you know, what we achieved with our Soviet steel mentality with jazz music. We were copying a lot, of course, the mainstream jazz. The lady was singing, piano player was playing, I was playing, singing as well. Mostly Louis Armstrong that I copied a lot. And then, and what I remember that my experience, school experience, when we came to school, when we saw once, we were invited for the party in the school with adults, and the school band was playing, youth band. And it was 8 saxophones on the stage, or probably 9. I don't know. I just cut it
off. Lot, yeah.
A lot. And no one said, "Wait, you will play when she will left." You know this. So children enjoy themselves.
Mm.
He want to play. He's capable to play first part. Sit down and play.
Mm.
Come to the concert. Mm. Play. You know.
Yeah.
And it was 8 saxophones, about 6 trombones, probably 7 trumpets, and trombones was played by girls. I mean, it's a different, you know, yeah. Trombone, it's hard artillery in Russia, it's unacceptable for girls, you know, to play. But it says little details, it's and what is the band? In Russia, it's impossible. In Russia, people sometimes very, I call it a little bit like a plebs. I mean, they are all there, but mentality of plebs. You know, if they once accept the rules, it must be 4 saxophones or 5 saxophones. So, no way. And poor child will never get on the stage, never get involved. He will wait and then hate.
Mm.
And probably cry secretly, you know, and then drop the instrument.
Lose their spirits.
That's it.
Yeah.
This is it. Such encouraging, you know, tolerance, you know.
Mm.
You want to sit down.
You might be rubbish, but we'll find you something. Yes.
You know, that's what it's about. Professional approach in Russia is dominated. You know, everyone happy to say this. Russian playing music. Yeah, of course.
Mm.
Of course, it's 45 minutes lesson twice a week. This is normal.
Mm. Mm.
Compared to 35 in England,
with
once a week. So it's incomparable, you know, even just a simple, there's no special approach, you know. In Russia, there's special musical schools for gifted children. Musical for gifted ones. You're not gifted if you're not going to that one. You're just normal. Who are you? Go. I mean, that's what in men, subconsciously, consciously exists.
I don't think that's just Russia, though. I think many European countries have the same attitude.
It's very, I don't know,
completely dispiriting way of dealing with someone who might be rubbish, but full of enthusiasm. And so eventually, sometimes that enthusiasm from a child that's not particularly good turns into something else. You know, becomes, you know, you can have a child that starts off on one instrument not very good, but through their enthusiasm, they become something else through it. And I think that's much more a British way. It's just let them find something, you know, find their own way through the system into what they want to actually do. And I personally think that's quite good. But I was really shocked in Germany, which has such a liberal attitude towards the arts and such heavy funding of education, that if you have not done music by the time, I think, you're 16, you cannot do music in college. So people who maybe want to go into music in their 20s or late teens, because they haven't done it by a certain stage, they can never do music. No, I was really shocked to find that out.
Really?
Yeah, so a lot of them go to Sweden. And they go to Denmark. They
but it's not right, obviously not right. Someone created this system.
What's so bizarre is you can study something really ridiculous like how to design glasses until you're 36 and they'll pay you for it. But if you want to move, it's particularly in the arts, so you can't move into the arts beyond a certain point. If you haven't gone in, I think it's by the time you're 16, it's really hard to go in later. So it's not just a Russian thing. I think there's a lot of places that this myth that art, music, creativity has to be set at a very early age, and if it's not, it's never going to happen. Strange.
What I knew about this, definitely about not that position about where to start. I mean, as I know, just for parents to discuss or for people to discuss the problems of musical education and to be accepted. As I know, one sort of statistic I heard once in my life, that if you don't expect great musical achievements, or progress at least, of your own, if you didn't start to make music since age of 2 till 3.5 or till 4, if you... that space, you wasn't active, or your parents wasn't busy with you to play with you musical games, not necessarily explain you what's different between bass clef and treble clef, for example. Or how many the sharps in this key, whatever. No, not theoretical. Mm. Just at least that spiritual movements in the music, within music, being within music, or keeping music within yourself, you know. If you didn't do this, don't expect success in music as well. If you didn't do this, and then if you didn't do anything from 4 till 7, more musical, you know, movement as the same, don't expect any success with your mathematical ability, development.
Yes.
And it is statistically approved. I'm trying now, when I'm talking to people, sometimes when people talking to me about children, I'm trying to push them to this idea. So get started, play with your child musically. I mean, learn some easy folk songs, whatever, rhymes, whatever is available.
And I'm sure in some cases that's absolutely true, and in some cases it's not true. But I think allowing anybody to do whatever they want. I mean, there's people here that have started the fiddle in their 50s who've been playing for 2 years, and they're at the folk festival just completely soaking it up. And maybe they'll be rubbish, I don't know. But the fact is that they can actually join in the jam sessions with 2 years of learning the fiddle in their 50s. And I think that's fantastic. Whether it becomes a professional musician or the most innovative fiddle player ever, I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. I think it's the fact that they're part of it that I find so exciting. So let's get back to you moving to Britain permanently. That must have been a big shift, because you had a career, you had a reputation, you had everything sort of behind you in Russia.
When I get tired of this fighting of this, my ideas, new ideas, because they were crucial to me to realize my old position in this world.
This was in the educational system in Russia?
Educational, yeah. Some other sorts of, you know, this simultaneously like a chain of events in my life, which, you know, that quite small, but everything was like a snowball, you know, growing. And I had the opportunity to visit Great Britain once again. And I was very tired of this, you know, just ignoring of my ideas. Because, so what's the point to send me here? To impress me, you know, you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's point? Or impress by me how good they are?
Mm-hmm.
you know, who was still keeping the power and ruling the game, you know. I decided probably I will not give them chance to use me. And then we came, we just found out that the lack of new horses in this country. And we just started to look the way how I'm very happy my wife was accepted as a for this adaptation course, short one, but very acceptable for us to make living during that time. And we now, she's a new horse, and I'm freelance musicians, which I absolutely happy. And then, to be honest, the routine of that formalistic routine of the Russian Soviet post-Soviet time education, it is still the same. It is you can't change anything. Unfortunately, you know, in Great Britain, you could create a college of music on your band. I could open now music school. It's my good wish. I mean, for not. I mean, I just telling you the possibilities. If I. I'll do it. No way. No way. I don't know. So it means I just tried and I decided to go away from this. This is not worth even to spend my life on this, you know. So and as well as I wasn't panicking, who will lead department after me? Because the lack of jobs, I'm sure some people will happy to take my place straight away, and not just in this college as well as I was seen sending big bands, you know, I was MC'ing American Radisson Hotel at the same time in nightclub, you know, this was quite busy. But it wasn't. I can't change myself. All my life like this. I mean, I'm not about talent. It's destiny. I'm not talented at all. Believe me, what I've got, even what I could show off is sometimes, it is hard labor. It's hard labor. Yeah, whatever I'm doing, it's hard labor. It's nothing about not talent. No talent. I'm not talented.
Neither have I. Get up there and have
fun.
Yeah.
I love anything what I want to do. And I just wanted it. It's interesting. You know, I like it. And then to make it, when you go into it, you realize it is what it is hard, it is tough. This is a tough, anything is tough. If you want
to make it look easy,
it's tough. Yeah. Sometimes I'm exhausted, you know, just exhausted. I love it. And the people somehow feeling, and they all the time picking on me on a position of this, which I love, but this is like Kremlinaires. You know how many time I spent to learn the lines in the Kremlinaires? I spent enormous quantity of time to learn. I'm presenting each musician, for example, and I deliberately just we created some text for me. And I decided to not be free, so we went with some proper description. Funny way, so and I just learned it. Otherwise, you know, I can't be free. I want to be free is what I'm saying. It's not about as well as if I want to be straight, very good, very understandable by audience. Better to know what how to say to know the right way to say, you know. Otherwise, I'm doing some logical mistakes when I'm saying some phrases. And saying it not in a British way, you know, not in English way. I'm always afraid to be misunderstandable by audience if I'm doing it on my own.